I want you to get even. You've been waiting for this, haven't you? It's like, get even. And I want to assure you, it is the Lord's will to do it. Just get even. Let me tell you about a Christian soldier. He was living in barracks, of course, with other soldiers. And each evening, this guy would read his Bible. He would pray. Do you reckon the rest of the guys in the barracks were excited? They ridiculed him, they reviled him, they insulted him. Especially one soldier directly across the aisle in their little bunk beds. So one night, a pair of muddy combat boots came flying in his direction. And the next morning, the hostile soldier found his boots at the end of his bed. They were clean, they were polished, and they were ready for inspection. Several soldiers in that barrack unit came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the inner strength of that believer who returned blessing for insult. I like to think of it as enemy love. Love. And Paul says to the Christians in Rome, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed to be a blessing. So we come to the conclusion of our little series, Blessed to be a Blessing, and we come to the end of my little wander through the tulips at Oak Tree. We are blessed to be a blessing. Think of it as love in action. The letter to the Romans clearly contains some of the heaviest theology in all of Scripture, and especially Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And as you're reading towards the end of chapter 11, it's like Paul falls back into his lazy boy recliner, and it's like he's nearly exhausted theologically, and this is what he cries out. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who's been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And all God's people said, Amen. And then in his lazy boy recliner, he's just about to pick up the TV remote because he doesn't want to miss the Melbourne BBL Derby, Melbourne Stars taking on the Renegades. They were awesome the other night. He's just about to flick the remote and he pauses. I think the Lord wants me to give some very practical exhortations to the Christians in Rome. And he puts down the remote and he picks up his first century Lamy fountain pen. These are like free ads today, aren't they? I mean, the stuff's just going to pour in from Australia Post this week. First century Lamy fountain pen, anyone listening out there? And he writes, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And then in like bullets out of a gun, like think about a piano, like in staccato type fashion, he reels off what the Christian community and what an individual's life should look like. It's like, I've given you all this theology, all these mysteries of the Gentiles and Israel. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to look to the Lord and go, he's all wisdom. And then hold on to your seats. It's like bang, 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 bang. And it's exactly what he did when he wrote to the young fledgling church in Thessaloniki in 1 Thessalonians 5. So in our reading, Rob, from Romans 12, 9 to 21, what you're seeing is the deep heart of Paul, because he knows he's getting towards the end of this final letter to the Roman Christians. And these words, Romans 12, 9 to 21, are my departing words to God's people at Oak Tree. Here's the big point. Love must be anopokritos. Okay. Let's say the benediction and we'll go. You like that? Anopokritos. Well, We're not trying to be fancy with Greek words. Love must be sincere. Love must be genuine. Love must be completely free of any hypocrisy. I think the vernacular would be, it's got to be legit. Legit. Love for God, love for others, when we speak about it, it's not just some ethereal concept. You know what it's like? It's muddy boots that are cleaned. It's love in action. Love is a verb. And love in action looks like us, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, being conduits of blessing to all around us. We are the most blessed. We are super, super blessed because we're in Christ. And then we need to be channels of blessing. So, friends, my words to you, the Holy Spirit's words to us, as it was to the Roman Christians: hate what's evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Ever been in a church where every single person was devoted to one ever? I mean, 100%. Have you ever been in that church? I haven't. But actually, that's what the Lord instructs us. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour. The sense in the original is like, let your spirit be excited because you're serving the Lord. And Mark Jewis and myself have spent some days in handover, and he's worked on some rosters which will take us through to mid-March. I'm still saying us. I guess I can do it till about 7:25 on Tuesday night. He's done some rosters which will be distributed in the next week. It'll take us through to the camp. Friends, serve with zeal. Serve with zeal. And if you're not currently involved in some form of service, then put your hand up. There may be some because of, you know, physical sickness or whatever, they don't have the same mobility, but there'll always be a way that you can serve. Always be able to pray. Before Paul, in his letter, gets to his love in action list from verse 9 on, so try and get the flow. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Staccato list of commands, verse 9 on. What's he put in the middle? He speaks about spiritual gifts. He speaks about one body and that each member of the body belongs to all the others. It's a different way of the way he said it in 1 Corinthians 12. So don't be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord then. Verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So I'm going to leave after 30 months, which is probably the equivalent in a non-world crisis time of 5 years or 7 years. And I'm going to leave with lots of precious memories. And you know what's at the top of the list of my memories? The growth in our prayer life. Our prayer life. Do you remember what it was before COVID really hit, when we came together on a Monday night for those incumbency prayer nights? They were good, weren't they, Matt? They were terrific times. That incumbency process went so smoothly. It was those nights, and then as we went into lockdown with the online prayer. I know that you will have been excited, as I was, to hear the youth lead us in prayer during the generation service. Wasn't that fantastic? It's like the future of the church. Be praying for that. The Lord's anointed a new youth pastor would come on board as we give thanks for Georgia and Matt. Prayers of the youth, those Monday nights, and then just week in and week out, 6 days a week, faithful prayer warriors, part of the online prayer. Just 15 minutes a day. Awesome. Not 1 week missed since when we started the third week in March. Now, I know we can all pray on our own, and that's good. But there is a special, like a manifest presence of the Lord when we come together. It's the two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. The Lord's always with us. So what's he saying? It's like a special presence of the Lord. So I don't know what form the prayer life of Oak Tree's going to be going forward. But I want us to build on it. Don't let it wane. Say, that's what it is. Friends, it's not some special group of elite believers. It's the body of Christ that comes together and prays heaven down to earth. That's what I used to think when Michelle Turnbull was praying. It was like praying heaven down to earth. And so it's my encouragement on this last Sunday to say, build on it. Don't wane. But there'll be all sorts of distractions. The enemy throws everything at us to pull us away from prayer. Why does he do it? Because he knows how powerful it is. It is the most important ministry in the body. All right. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. I try and stay abreast of what's happening in the broader church, but it's at a distance. My impression is the Lord is doing quite a cleansing, especially through the Western church. And I don't say this in judgment, but in observation, for someone who loves to see things grow. If things grow, and part of that growth is attracting celebrities and high net worth people and all sorts of stars, and we go, okay, well, when you come into Oak Tree, imagine this is Oak Tree, your seats are these ones. Like plebs, would you might stay over there, like sort of honour them? They're really wealthy. And if the Apostle James was here, he would be screaming out. It's like, don't do it. Don't do it. And so Paul says, be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. And then verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. So here's a little prayer that I've put together for Oak Tree. See if it resonates with you. Lord, we want to be a church whose DNA matches that of heaven. Blessing. We are the children of Abraham through faith in Jesus, and we are inheritors of the promises. We want to be channels of blessing, Father. Amen. Is that a good prayer? Let me read it again. Lord, we want to be a church whose DNA matches that of heaven. Blessing. We are the children of Abraham. Why? Through faith in the Lord Jesus. And that means we are inheritors of the promises. We, Oak Tree, want to be channels, rivers of blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you. But I wonder, seriously, whether I am praying appropriately on behalf of all of us. I wonder, as you hear those words, bless and do not curse, whether you might have some questions in your mind. What if someone really wrongs you? What if you are terribly abused? What if you're mistreated? I mean really mistreated, not just a little angry word, really mistreated. I want you necessarily to have painful memories, but I'll be surprised if there aren't some of these memories. Do you still want to be a channel of blessing? Do you really want to speak the favor of God over someone who acts appallingly to you? See, at one level, words are cheap. You know, bless them, do not curse. Let's quickly say it and move on. Think about it. Someone acts appallingly. Do you want to be the channel to speak the favor and do the favor of God on that person's life? Because the Apostle Paul anticipates, I think, that the Christians who he's writing to might be starting to get a little bit of spiritual indigestion. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It's like, I think he's, they're kind of starting to feel it. Are you serious? You mean that person, we'll point to empty row, bless you, that person there, this one who's acted so abysmally Are you saying this one's going to get away with it? Is there no justice? So I want you to see how Paul addresses this struggle. And I think it's a struggle that many of us have, us, believers. We just struggle to verbalize it. It's kind of like, I don't really want to say it. I hear what Scripture says. I actually want to follow what Scripture says. But that was so off. Can't we just sort that out now? What do you mean expressing the Lord's favor and blessing on this one who's just perpetrated this terrible crime? Will the wrongs be sorted out? You see, if you ever ask those questions, don't have a guilt trip. I think it's completely appropriate to ask that question. Will the wrongs be sorted out? Because we have this inbuilt sense of justice. Why do we have that inbuilt sense? Because even with the fall, we've been created in the image of God, and he's a just God. Of course we have that cry for justice, but we will never properly sort things out ourselves. We will never do it with 100% righteousness. There's only one who can, and what's his name? Jesus. We leave it with the Lord. So look at verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 19, don't take revenge, my dear friends. But leave room for God's wrath. And then he quotes from Deuteronomy 32. It is mine to avenge, I will repay. You see, God's call on his people is to overwhelm all with love, to overwhelm everyone with the blessing of God. I reckon verse 20 is just a standout. Don't repay evil with evil. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And this one's such a curious little line in Scripture. And he's quoting from Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. In doing this, in doing what? Blessing the one who's acted terribly towards you, you will heap burning coals on his or her head. And if you go back and read that quote in Proverbs 25, verse 22, it finishes with, and the Lord will reward you. That is, the Lord thinks this is a big deal. Regardless of what is done to you, return favour. Like, is there anything more difficult in the Christian life? Do you think you can do this in your own strength? No way, never. You have to plead with the Holy Spirit. Help me to be like Jesus. Help me to put into practice not just these words. I don't want a big gap between what I say and what happens in reality. I can't do it. I actually don't want to bless them. Tell the Lord. So change my heart so I can. The Lord says, do it and you'll be rewarded. Verse 21, do not overcome. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Like, he's hammering it, isn't he? He's hammering this issue of being people of blessing. And I find it interesting that he hammers it in the context of where people have acted abysmally. He doesn't hammer it saying, you know, those good friends of yours, and occasionally they slip up and they're not always that nice to you. No, no. He's saying people who persecute you, people who curse you. And I suspect that setting in Rome was that they were starting to come under some real pressure. They might have been losing some jobs, some income, some social ostracism. It wasn't quite at the time of Nero, right? With disgusting persecutions that happened under Nero's reign, but they're starting to feel the pressure of being followers of the Lord Jesus. And it's in that context that he says, bless those who curse you. I reckon he is putting on the table the great test. You say you're people of blessing, Rod. You say you're a person of blessing. Will you bless in that circumstance? So as we wrap up the series and I wrap up this little tiptoe through the tulips at Oak Tree, let me ask this question. How are you going with the message of the series? Blessed to be a blessing. like deeply how you're going with it. God wants all of us to be on board, totally on board, in being that river, that channel of blessing. And I think you just have to get your mind and heart in the right orientation. And as I was thinking about this, I actually thought of a baseball analogy. I should have brought my little Yankees cap. So think of a baseball analogy, sorry for AFL fans. You're about to walk up to the plate. What's the starting point in this journey? It's overwhelming gratitude for the amazing grace of God in your life. You'll know your own journey. I know mine, pursued by the Lord for years and years and years, notwithstanding that I knew the gospel, but completely rejecting the Lordship of Christ. And he continued to pursue me, challenging me, not condemning me, but challenging me, convicting me. It's amazing grace. Often as I'd drive to, it was the case at Deep Creek, as I drove to the early service, there was a particular corner, I don't know why, as I turned that corner heading down to Deep Creek, I'd sort of have some moist eyes. I'd go, Lord, wow, your faithfulness in continuing to pursue me and saving me, I'd been blessed with so much and I shunned you, and not only that, you then privileged me to lead God's people. It's like, wow, that's the starting point. Just overwhelming gratitude to be sons and daughters of the living God. What's the first base? What is the first base in being channels of blessing? Repenting, turning from any sense of self-entitlement and self-centeredness. Turning from it. Second base. It's a biblical understanding that we stand in the river of blessing that flows from Abraham. You have to roll up your sleeves and get into Scripture and then let it sink in. We're in that river. It's a stream of blessing that flows from Abraham, and it goes all the way through to the new heaven and the new earth. Why are we in it? Because we trusted in the seed, capital S, of Abraham. Galatians 3:16, we trusted in the seed, we trusted in the Lord Jesus and him alone. Second base, third base. It's a heart's desire that everyone literally that we interact with in life might know the favour of God. See, when I've struggled with applying what I'm preaching, I try and ask myself this question. Do I want that person or persons to keep going down a path of separation and deadness in their life? Of course I don't. I want them to be alive, energized, full of the Spirit. So third base is just in your heart. Everyone you meet, without exception, I want that person to know the favor of God. I want them to stand in that river of blessing. And what's the home run? I think the home run is when our whole lifestyle is one of blessing. It is driven by a desire that everyone, without exception, think of Glen Ira Road, my little mission strip along here. For the recording, I won't name all the places. I've seen that as a little mission strip. That each one of those persons, I don't know where they all stand spiritually, but my prayer is that they'll be absolutely united in the Lord Jesus. And I'm not putting ribbons on myself, but I speak blessing on those establishments. I speak prosperity on their lives and their businesses, so that they will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalm 27. So here's something as I wrap up that each of us can do. This week, ask the Father to bring one person into your life, into your path, who needs God's favour spoken over them, or a demonstration of God's favour. How might that look? Someone is sick, and you bless them as you pray for their healing. Someone is broke because they've lost their job in the travel and tourism sector because COVID has just put hundreds of thousands of people out of work. And you come in contact with them and you buy their groceries. It's showing the favour of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God. It's speaking blessing over your favourite cafe as you order your large, skinny latte, extra hot, and try and pretend that you're not really being precious. It is blessing someone who seems to take delight in throwing grenades at you. It's blessing someone with a word of encouragement, a word of edification, a word of exhortation. Do those three E's connect with you? Do you remember when we did spiritual gifts? You see, the primary purpose of prophecy in the New Testament is what? Edification, exhortation, and encouragement. The US church is going through a terrible time at the moment because of a whole stack of prophecies that were made or words that were spoken that are not coming into fruition. They were not from the Lord. And the great risk is we go, then we're going to throw all this prophetic stuff out. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, do not despise prophecy, but do what? Test it. And the main way the prophecy is used is like words of blessing. It's edification, exhortation, and encouragement, etc. We're God's people. We're the most blessed. We're the most blessed because we're joined to Jesus, who is the Lamb that has been slain. He's the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Love's a verb. Be that channel of blessing. And I want to ask you to stand with me as I wrap up. May the river of God's blessing pour out from Oak Tree, bringing the water of life to the parched and dry lands of our broken world. Let me say it again. Feel it in your spirit. May the river of God's blessing pour out from Oak Tree, bringing the water of life to the parched and dry lands of our broken world. And I want to speak God's blessing over each of you. You might want to, if it helps you, just lift your hands. The Lord's here. The Lord's alive. He loves us. The Lord bless you. That is, God, bring good constantly into the life of everyone here at Oak Tree and those connecting with us digitally. The Lord keep you. That is, God protect them. The blood of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ be over you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. That means that God's love is flowing over you. He's creating something that's good. The Lord turn his face towards you. May the Lord look right at you personally. The Lord give you peace. Shalom. Do you remember all the way back as we started to go into a terrible time of COVID when we talk about that message on peace? Destroying the demonic authority attached to chaos. So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord give you peace. All God's people said amen as we're going to lift our voices behind our masks and praise his holy name.